Welcome to the Banking with Life podcast. I'm your host, James Nethery. And you know that we talk only about the infinite banking concept, all things becoming your own banker here at the Banking with Life channel. And you surely know, if you don't know, you should know, the creator of the concept of becoming your own banker was my dear late friend and mentor, R. Nelson Nash. I got to know the young man about 2005-ish, here it is, 2024. So for the last 20 years, I have practiced the infinite banking concept. And, you know, he graduated a few years ago. But from the time I met him until he graduated in 2019, I did everything in my power to be his water boy. If he turned around with an empty hand and needed something, I wanted to have it ready for him. I dearly miss him, think about him an awful lot. And just the other day was kind of going down, you know, memory lane, kind of reminiscing about some of the conversations that we had over the years. And so I thought I would just invite you to go down memory lane with me, and I hope you enjoy listening. Thank you. I mean, it really has had several effects, you know, most of them probably unintended consequences. I don't know.
Yeah, you could make a real case for that unintended consequences out there that has good intentions, but good intentions don't do the job. To the contrary, I think good intentions have created more problems than anything else out there when you really look at it deeply.
Yeah, almost. We talk about it all the time around my office that, you know, as soon as a man stands up and says he knows what's better or best for everyone else, you know, it's like the lights go off right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when an individual wants to run for office, you know, I think there's something psychologically wrong with them. But that's just me talking out loud. Right. All right. Well, listen, I would like to kind of I'd like to talk about rates and it's just a continuation though of the way people think, right? Everybody in the financial world is chasing rates of returns. The financial industry is, you know, creating products really at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Promoting rates of return that may or may not happen and may or may not be realistic, but it's a deeply ingrained pattern in our thinking as a society to chase these rates of return when it comes to money.
Yeah.
And no matter what they've experienced and whether they've lost money in the market or whatever, you know, my point is this, that the thinking is entrenched about rates of return, even though they don't experience them over and over and over. You know, the industry, the financial industry says, oh, you can expect this kind of rate of return. And even though they don't experience those rates of returns, they're still chasing these phantom rates of returns. And it has to do with their thinking.
Yes. That's the whole problem right there, the thinking. They don't think, that's it. They need knee-jerk reaction. And so they flit from one place to the other. Well, when they flit from one place to the other, they stopped earning whatever they were in the old place. And now they think they're earning someplace here. And it just doesn't work at all. Everything is really so simple out there, but people like to listen to nonsense for some reason or another. They're particularly attracted to nonsense, but that's been this story of mankind since day one, though. So that's nothing new.
Same old, same old. Same.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what do you see going on out there in the big wide world as far as the, you know, the financial industry, the insurance industry, and what do you see? You talk to an awful lot of people, you know, an awful lot of people, economists, you know, just ordinary people. What's your take, Nelson, on what's going on in the financial world?
Well, it's nothing that's all that attractive because people are being deceived. The easiest thing in the world to do is to, okay, let's put it this way. Maybe this will help. Back when I first wrote my book, Becoming Your Own Banker, About 18 months later, there was this marketer that called on me. I didn't know him, and he didn't know me, but somehow or another, he had come across my book as a result of a contact of some sort or another. And anyway, I had several sessions with him over several months, and he told me finally, I can make you very wealthy, but you got to learn to compromise some of your principles. You got to learn to tell half-truths. If you'll tell half-truth, people will throw money at you, and it's very evident that that's true. Gosh, all you got to do is just look at what goes on out there, that what the quote market has to offer as far as ideas. Bob Murphy sent me something just last few days, some advertisement about several books that would help you get rich, whatever. And of course, there was Dave Ramsey there, and there was what's her name? The woman, doggone it. Anyway. And this is not true at all. People like to believe lies. That's just all there is to it. And again, rates is not it. Volume is. Because you know I'm a forester by education, and you know how a tree grows. It grows in rings and so forth. Well, if you'll notice that the larger the rings get in the tree, the rate decreases, but the volume increases.
Yeah.
Because you see, all the growth is on top of what was there in the past. And so I can demonstrate that with this State Farm policy that my brother sold me back in 1959. If you look at the paperwork that I have of the last several years, the rate of growth, has been slightly decreasing, but the volume has been going up significantly because it works. Compound interest works exactly the same way.
You know, I love the, I can't remember what airport it's in. Maybe it's in Birmingham, Atlanta, but there's a 300 or 400 year old slice of a tree.
Yeah,
and it's in the airport, and it has markings on things,
right,
of what took place, and you know, when you back up, and this thing's probably 12 foot, probably about 36 foot in circumference. When you back up and look at that, it's mighty impressive. It's very impressive, and I think about that every time I walk by there, and I take a selfie and. Keep it on my phone. I don't publish it, but I think about you and the tree you cut down at your property.
Yeah. We have more financial geniuses today than all of civilization put together, and they really don't know beans. But that's just the heck of it. It goes back to the general problem. The basic problem with human beings is that they are egocentric big time, and they're also lazy at the same time also. So.
Now, be nice, sir.
But other than that, it's a good situation. Yeah, but you do have some great folks out there, whatnot. All during this time, it's been my great fortune to meet fantastic people that are well-educated that do not have diplomas. You know full well that Leonard Reed was my personal friend and mentor, and without question, he was the most educated man I ever met in my life. He had no degrees from anywhere. Well, neither did Henry Hazlitt, his co-founder, and neither did Herbert Spencer in England years before that. But their access to great information was very limited compared to what we have today. The tragedy is that today we have access to stuff that's unbelievable, really. But we have We've got problems with direction. You ever examined the word vector, V-E-C-T-O-R?
I have in our conversations in the past.
Yeah, all right. A vector is a force in a direction. Without both qualities, you don't have a vector. And I'm an airplane driver. Let's use that as an example. So here's the airline captain on a trip. Comes on the intercom and tells the people, I have to report something to you. That I have good news and the bad news. Says, good news is that we're making good time, but the bad news is we've lost our course. And so that's what I think has happened today big time, is they lost their course.
Yeah, welcome to America, right?
Yeah, well, the world.
Right.
Yeah. Right. All right, so there's real money and there's funny money out there tracking side by side. Well, I can demonstrate that I've never paid income tax in my life. I wrote about this in banknotes some time ago, that from Social Security, see, I'm 87 years old at this point. From Social Security, my wife and I get more money than we pay in taxes. Well, is that money that they give us, Social Security, is that real money or is that funny money?
It's funny money.
All right. So, every month, from those two sources, we get about $3,400 a month. Now, how do we do that? Well, we waited till 71 before we ever applied for the stuff. Yeah. See, every year that you put off getting it past normal retirement age, the rate increases 8%. Mm-hmm. Well, 8% on top of what it was last year, what now we're back to the tree rings, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that money comes in, and every quarter I send them $2,500 back, $5,000 back of their funny money. So
Social Security is a tax. Social Security all those working years.
Yeah. Coupled with the fact that I haven't mentioned the fact that I flew airplanes for the Army National Guard for 28 years. And so I have $1,009 per month that comes in from that source. Now, is that real money or is that funny money?
That's funny money.
Yeah. Okay. So how did I acquire that funny money? Well, I flew airplanes for 28 years. Now, what I got paid for flying airplanes with the Alabama Army National Guard was way more than I ever paid in income tax. Was that real money or was that funny money?
Back when you were getting paid?
Yes.
For doing the service?
Yeah.
That was real money.
Where did they get the real money to pay me? You tell me where did they get the real money to pay me, huh?
I printed it up out of thin air.
Okay, all right. It's funny money. So people say, yeah, but you had to fly them dang airplanes for the National Guard. Say, yeah, and you play golf too, don't you? You spend a ton of real money on golf clubs and fees and trips and all that sort of stuff. And I flew airplanes as a hobby. And I have played golf and I've flown airplanes, and flying airplanes is a whole lot more fun.
I bet.
That was just my hobby. Funny world, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Well, if you owned a bank, wouldn't you do all your business with you? I rest my case. But you see, this doesn't compute in their minds that anybody can do it. But you can't do it overnight. It's got to be a transition period. Well, anything that you do out there is that way. Good grief. Just take a baby. How long does a baby exist before he can walk or so? Yeah. All right. He crawls before he walks, before he runs, before he can become a Roger Bannister and run a 4-minute mile. And, you know, that was a barrier in people's mind. And then everybody was breaking the 4-minute mile. But up to that time, they couldn't do it because you just couldn't go any faster than that.
Yeah, all the limitations of most individuals rest right square between their ears.
Yeah. I say there's a war going on out there, but people don't understand that the battlefield is only 6 inches wide.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Nelson, I've got to jump off here. I know you're a busy guy too. So can we schedule up another phone call?
Probably.
Yeah, you're a busy guy, but you can work us in, right?
No, I'm desperate for something to do.
Right, desperate for something to do. Listen, man, I love you. I appreciate you. And have any parting words?
Well, we come across good thoughts and good inspirations and stuff out there, no matter who you are. They're out there. I've been blessed probably more than anybody in the world. Anyway, so I call that superior seeds of thought. And the idea is to plant them into fertile soil. And so that means somebody's got to be a listener that is hunting, whatever. All right, up comes the superior plants from those superior seeds and so forth. But the caveat is that you also going to get something else out there you didn't plant, and that's weeds. Now, if the weeds are abundant crop to the point where you can't even hardly see the good crop, if you just learn to recognize weeds and get rid of those dang things, the truth stands out like a sore thumb. It's ridiculously simple. But this is something that people don't think about. They're too overwhelmed by watching the dang weeds. So learning to recognize utter nonsense and get rid of it is important, very important.
Recognize the weeds. See, recognize what's going on. And
well, but it's so much fun to see those seeds come up in fertile minds. And so that brings me to a guy named James Nethery.
You know, he passed away. We attended the services. And, you know, and it's he's not going to. You know, you're not going to have the opportunity to be egocentric, self-centered for a moment. You know, you don't have the opportunity to, you know, have that phone call or, you know, complete a project or complete a discussion or a thought process. You know, so it goes. I mean, it's kind of, for me, I mean, yes, I'm knowledgeable and it's moving from, excuse me, I worked out hard this morning. You know, it's going from, I'm still in that, wow, really, should quit smoking. I don't smoke. Going from, they're still in transition, really going from that informational kind of mode, what it really means, how it's going to affect me. You know, looking at, it's very easy or simple to look at, oh, what you've lost, you know, what you don't have, what you can't have in the future, et cetera. But, you know, beyond that, you know, it's been quite enjoyable for me remembering, you know, all of the good things, mm-hmm. right? All of the time that you did have, the things that you did do, the conversations that you did have, not on the what you don't have sure. kind of a thing. And, you know, just like you said, that he was very impactful throughout his life in many areas. You know, the infinite banking concept is just one aspect of what
yeah.
he, you know, impacted.
Mm.
All right.
And like we were talking out by your pool the other day about, you know, all the things that you wish you could have asked and, you know, all the questions you could have answered and all the perspective that we didn't get an opportunity to hear from him, you know.
Yeah, then, OMG, you think about that, you know, 15 years, in my case, I'm grateful, appreciative to have the 15 years of, you know, a relationship that developed over that time, and it was a pretty close relationship, and all of the things that you did discuss, and then, you know, when he passes, you suddenly think about all of the things that you didn't discuss.
And it's like, wow, there's still so much more.
Right.
Yeah. And to the point where I think it would have been impossible to cover everything. You know, I think so. You had
no question.
15 years. I had 3. I met him in spring of 2016 and spoke and saw him regularly. He would call me and I'd call him and also see him in person, like when he visited here and at the various seminars. But, you know, most of that was me listening to him, you know, share whatever topic we were talking about, be it finance or history or Christianity or any of those. And then I think about, God, I could have just sat there and listened for the rest of my life.
Sure.
To everything that he had learned and what he would have to share.
Yeah, it was, and I'm so grateful and appreciative, you know, and I think my story's out there on YouTube and the big wide world somewhere, but, you know, my first exposure was really, you know, just to his first book, Becoming Your Own Banker, 2-day event, financial symposium, if you will, for financial professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of outside speakers and different topics and best practices. And I attended that, you know, I'm a student of my profession, economics. And so I attended, you know, and I take copious notes, although I may not be able to read them clearly afterwards. But before I left, I bought every book that the speakers had referenced, because a lot of them, you know, referenced various books. And so I bought them all, took them home, and, you know, they're stacked up on my nightstand. And I finally got around to reading Nelson's first book because it was so thin. They probably sat on my nightstand for several months, and I'd start a book without finishing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, seriously, you feel like an underachiever. I mean, things that you want to read, right? Anyway, I read the book that night, Nelson's book. And just after 14 years in the financial world, life insurance agent, investment advisor, I just was dumbfounded. Couldn't believe what I was reading for the first time, right? This concept, I've never been exposed to this idea that you could become your own banker and what that really meant. And, you know, after I got over my anger and the sun came up, I called the number on the back of the book, right? I just wanted to order some books. And Nelson himself answered. You know, at that time, that edition of the book, his face, his portrait, you know, was on the front cover.
Mm.
So now it's just on the back, right? But I was surprised that he even answered the phone. And we had a great conversation, you know, the epitome of a Southern gentleman, and had a great conversation. And it really literally wound up, you know, boy, I hold 10-hour seminars all over the country, and you ought to get yourself to one. So I did, you know, a month or so later. So it was a great initial conversation, much the same as your experience when you first met him. It's, you know, just the epitome of a Southern gentleman, gracious, genuine. And so I went, I think it was in Arkansas, And I was just one in a crowd. You know, he was doing the 10-hour seminar. I'm in the back taking copious notes. And, you know, come to find out that, and so that's really the first time I met him. And then we developed the relationship, right? And had many conversations with Nelson about events and seminars, not just his, but it was not, his 10-hour seminar was not ever meant, nor did it, nor the purpose was never to entertain.
Yeah, his they weren't meant to entertain, but you sure couldn't help but be entertained.
Yeah.
When he was talking, just part of his character.
Oh, yeah. He was a, you know, living legend, a persona, but genuine. But, you know, from there, you know, I flew home and I restructured all of the life insurance that we owned. And I had been practicing for about 14 years in the financial world, you know, retirement planning, income, blah, blah, blah. If I could go back to the, you know, in a seminar, being bold and unashamed, I don't know how many times I had heard him say, and he would talk about his relationship with Jesus Christ, and if you didn't have one, that was, you know, the most important thing, and he'd be willing to talk to you.
Say we got something to talk about after the seminar.
Exactly, you might have an opportunity. He was always politely, gentlemanly, gently bold.
Yes,
you know, and then and in that audience, you know, if you were to attend a 10-hour seminar in an audience of many, you always had the feeling of one and the connectivity.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then he would talk about Leonard E. Reed, and, you know, Leonard would go somewhere hosted and be presenting or speaking, and, you know, the crowd typically wanted to be entertained, but there was always that one, you know, that remained after the event, after the talk, and that was worth everything. You know, that was the most important conversation, that connectivity with one, the audience of one. And Nelson made you feel that way.
Absolutely.
That, you know, there was a direct connection, and that he was speaking to you, and he literally was.
Yeah, it wasn't fake. He was.
Right.
Yeah. He was talking to everybody individually at once.
Yes, that's powerful.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he could command a room for sure.
Yep, no question. All right.
Well, I think I mentioned all the pieces I wanted to mention. I could go on all day about how he was a, you know, personal and spiritual mentor. You know, seeing him, you know, he and Mary served as an example of what marriage can be, and certainly his Nelson the patriarch, you know, he had an extensive family, great grandkids all over the place, and you know, to be able to, for me, is to be able to, just where I am in my life, is to see that example as a, not only as a, you know, Christian man, but as a someone who was a family man and served his family, and, you know, that example will live with me forever.
Sure. You know, my thoughts kind of going forward, you know, I believe that God's timing is perfect. You know, whether as an individual or human being, that, you know, it makes sense to you, or you can see with clarity or understanding, or have the understanding with clarity. And, you know, just kind of, as I mentioned earlier, moving from the informational kind of knowledge based, knowing that, you know, Nelson graduated, you know, he's, and we'll see him in the next lifetime. There's this life and one more, right? And the impact that he's made on my life personally, and our practice and our clients and our families, and the industry, the life insurance industry, and the field of economics, and all the theories out there, and the Austrian school of economics. I mean, it's very powerful.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.